The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the Zabe Cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, June 16, 2026. Thank you for downloading. We have coming up here on the pod, Armin and Butchie to talk about two things and two things only. Well, maybe only. That is the phenomenon that is Jacob Mizorowski, the flame-throwing second-year pitcher for the Brewers, who just completed one of the most dominant and historically almost perfect games in Major League Baseball history, and also the impending departure of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Draft is coming up in the NBA now that the finals are over, and so it's going to happen this week. We'll get to them in just a second. But first, though, not sure if you're aware of this. Elon Musk is the world's first ever trillionaire. Okay. And what's the problem? Oh, that's right. Too much money in the hands of one man. He is an evil oligarch, as Bernie Sanders has said over and over and over again. You should look up the Bernie Sanders oligarch montage. He's been saying the line about oligarchs and oligarchy for, not exaggerating, 25 years. And they've got the clips to prove it. Now, I understand, yes, there is always that threat once wealth gets concentrated into the hands of too few for an oligarchy. But what's the difference between a trillion and just 400 billion or 200 billion or 5 billion. Remember, 5 billion is 5,000 million. What can you buy? What is the danger of all this wealth in one hand? It's not like they have their own army. It's not like they have their own police department. It's not like they can even buy themselves representatives in Congress to do their bidding. You could, I mean, they do spend money on campaigns, but a lot of money has been spent to try to push certain candidates into office, and they have failed spectacularly. It is no guarantee of anything. Besides, you know who already owns most of the politicians? Corporations that are already worth billions of dollars. So Elon Musk is a trillionaire. Hey, how about that? And good for him. Elon Musk, to me, is the modern-day Thomas Edison. He is maybe the modern-day Thomas Edison wrapped into Ben Franklin. He is maybe the modern Thomas Edison with Ben Franklin with a splash of Henry Ford. He is a miracle of existence, if you ask me. Is he perfect? No. But my God, look at what he is doing. Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, the Boring Company. He bought Twitter for $44 billion. At the time, those who were rooting against him were like, oh boy, this might bankrupt him. He paid way too much money. What? $44 billion. He's now worth over a trillion. That's $1,000 billion. Fired 70% of Twitter. Nothing changed. The company did not have a hiccup as it continued on. Elon Musk is a guy who is doing things that blow my mind. And I'm a Tesla owner. When I was initially, I'm never owning a Tesla. I don't care about the environment. I'm not going to sit and wait for a car to charge up. And then my brother-in-law got one, and I test drove it, and I saw the full self-driving in action. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And I love it. It's an amazing car. And people have said, people have shorted Tesla, the so-called smart people, the financial people, have shorted Tesla along the way who knows how many times. And I've seen the clips of pundits on CNBC and everything else. He also, Musk, correctly picked the right path when it comes to fully automated, fully reliable self-driving, which is to keep everything vision-based only. Cameras and computer software that does what is called a, neural network. So that every drive somebody takes with a Tesla, it feeds up information and video, and it maps the roads, and it recognizes situations, and it gets smarter and smarter off of that. Waymo and other self-driving vehicles use multiple technologies. They use vision plus radar plus LiDAR. And what Musk realized early on was, well, those different technologies will see different things in certain situations, and then they will argue, and then the car will freeze up or go around in circles because who's there to settle the argument? Who's right, the LiDAR or the cameras? Have you seen Musk's yacht? That's another question I ask to those who think that Elon Musk is evil. That's right, you haven't seen his yacht because he doesn't have one. Unlike these other billionaires, he's like, I don't have time for it. I'm too busy building things. He also got rid of most of his properties, I want to say about 6-7 years ago, and was asked, well, why did you do that? Because he certainly has enough money to buy mansions all over the place. And guys like Mark Zuckerberg has bought pretty much half of the island of Maui to have his estate on. He said it's too much exposure. Too much exposure, just too much financial exposure, too much security exposure for him. And he reasoned it like, I can only sleep one place anyway on any given night. This is a guy who's also slept at his factories as they have been on the up and come. SpaceX was not a sure thing. SpaceX was teetering and was failing. And there's a picture of Elon Musk crouched in a warehouse with a pile of debris from a rocket that had just blown up and crashed as SpaceX was on the verge of running out of money. And he's looking at this blown up rocket like, how do we figure this out? The costs and the success rate, costs of rocketry was too high and the success rate was too low. And many thought he ain't ever going to make it work. But then he got better and better because he hires the most insanely talented engineers. He works them hard, but he treats them right and he gives every employee a chance to own stock. And therefore, a ton of, I think they said upwards of 1,000 employees at SpaceX became millionaires overnight after the IPO. But he hires the best of the best, and then he keeps going, and he doesn't give up. There is a graphic you can see online of the first SpaceX booster rocket engine, and then the different iterations until what it is now. And it just looks smaller and smaller and simpler with each different iteration. And Musk's philosophy was the best part of any kind of machine, the best part is no part. It's kind of why the Tesla as a vehicle is so minimalist. There's very little controls in it. So few controls that when he took out the turn signal stalk, the indicator, the little clip, many Tesla was like, oh man, what are you doing? And even Tesla admitted, Musk admitted in an interview with, it was Jay Leno, he didn't talk to Jay Leno directly, but it was the engineers for Tesla taking a test drive with Jay Leno in his car channel on YouTube, that they admitted, the engineers said, yeah, you know what? We realized that the turn signal stalk was one step too far, but our philosophy is always, if you don't have to add something back after people complain, you're not deleting enough stuff. But yeah, he's got $1 trillion. Good for him. I can't wait to see the companies he makes next. I can't wait to see what he does with that. Am I worried that he's going to buy our government or create some kind of robot army that wages war? No. Who fucking cares? Wake up, people. We are living in an age of technological miracle and wonder. And this dude is doing things that are mind-bending. But hey, if you want to be one of these idiot Yenta women on the street, one of which I saw was saying he took all his money from the government. He stole people's ideas. He's a fraud. He doesn't know anything, really. Okay. If you want to think of him as an evil clown billionaire, go ahead. It'll just show how dumb you really are. So yeah, he's a trillionaire. We'll see what happens next. But am I worried? No, not even close. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
Shot won't go. Tuck with a rebound. And that'll do it. It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Watch this. The Bucks are what's hot, there's no need to deny. So what we gonna do?
Let it fly, let it fly.
That blue, green, and cream make opponents run their
Well, 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 look at the boys that roped in. Armin, Butchie, top of the morning, top of the week to you. It's gonna be a huge week, unfortunately, in Milwaukee. It looks like this is the week Giannis finally leaves. Armin, how are you gonna handle this, my friend?
Not well. I'm gonna be depressed. I'm gonna be sad. You know, it's like life insurance. You know, you might have it for a reason. It might come for a purpose, but it's not something you ever want to see. But I'll say this:
life insurance.
Call me crazy. Well, you know, I'm just using metaphors.
You're dying inside right now. It's come to this finally.
Let me say this, though. I'm not holding out hope that we could still have a surprise. We didn't see Dame coming. We didn't see Miles Turner coming. Sometimes
we didn't want to see Miles Turner coming. I was the first one to be wrong on that one.
Agreed.
Yeah, you were talking it up as a good acquisition. I try to talk you out of it, Butchie.
Okay.
So what are you hoping for, Armin, that they go, nah, you know what? We're going to keep him. Never mind.
Right. Like, I don't know what the conclusion is. I don't know if I'm being too naive, but okay. John Horst had surprises in the past with turning face and saying, Butchie, you know what? We're going to go for it.
Butchie, please tell our son, Armin, not to be disappointed when there's no pony for Christmas, that there is no way this week the Bucks say, yeah, you know what? Never mind. We're keeping him. It's not happening.
No, it's not happening at all. He's gone. This is gone. This was happened a long time ago. Giannis has said it in Giannis's way. He didn't come out and flat out say it, but he said it in the way that Giannis says it. He doesn't want to be a mean guy. He doesn't want to be a bad guy. So he just kind of, you know, does the breadcrumbs a little bit. And I think that's just where we're at with this. And now the question becomes, you've had 8 NBA champions in the last 8 years. You could, like, the way the NBA is built now, anybody's year. If you're a Bucks fan, you go ahead and rebuild with the hope of, look, this isn't the dynasties of the NBA anymore. Just you have to be smart about the trade. You have to get valuable assets, and you can turn this thing around quickly. Nobody thought the Knicks were going to win. Like, that can be the Bucks again.
Yeah. All right. So this is the week. Have you guys been poring over the offers that are being reported and rumored? Armin, are you and Drew and Billy on Fox Sports 920 there in Wisconsin doing this every day on the show? Are you like going, Drew, here's a report from the Heat. It's this, this, and this. Do we like it?
Drew, Billy, and I on the huddle. Look at our koozie we got.
Wow. We got koozies? Butchie, I think this show and this station's going to stick.
I think this station might come back. I don't know. Look at that. I mean, there might be something going. If they got koozies, I couldn't even get a t-shirt.
You have to dream, and I dare to dream about Giannis and about that, what you just said. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. We have been going over the offers today. We talked about the fact that, unfortunately, it looks like your two biggest rivals, Boston and Miami, are the two suitors. Now, this report from Simmons and now confirmed by Mark Stein, it seems like Boston might be the one. Really, I don't, you know, that was the worst part, is like, I had to see him in a Boston Celtics uniform. If I had to watch him somewhere else, I'd rather it be something random, like Portland or Utah. Now, Portland could be a dark horse here, but sure looks like Boston and Miami are certain the wagons.
What are you talking about? Okay, so there's two angles to this. One is how much you get back, what you get back. And then the second angle is, what will I be able to stomach watching him in? And you say a Celtic uniform would burn your soul.
I would hate to see him in a Celtic uniform, a Heat uniform, and I guess a Bulls uniform. If you want to talk about the ones you really hate to see, I don't want to see him in the Celtic green, but you might get the most back from those two teams if they're desperate enough to do it. That's the other factor of this. Like, who's most desperate enough now to try and make that leap? There could be a dark horse. I think if you got someone back, like an established player, Hero, Jalen, Butch, what do you think? I think they're going to reroute that player for more picks somewhere else. So it might be a 3 or 4 team deal.
Well, I think you need to get a team, like you said, that's desperate. Look at Mikal Bridges. What did Mikal Bridges get for the Knicks? What did the Suns get for the Knicks for him? And guess what?
Five
first-round picks.
And he's not that good.
No, but guess what? They got a championship in New York, and he's a hero.
I know. He had some awesome games. He's a component piece of a good overall team, but the price of that was so fucking high, it's crazy.
Yeah, and Desmond Bane got 4 picks to go to Orlando to do what? They had a decent moment there in the playoffs, but...
So why then am I seeing every trade for Giannis involving 2 or maybe 3 first-round picks, and that's it?
I think it's because the new apron has changed the way teams think, and they're not willing to give up those firsts anymore. And unfortunately, the Bucks have fallen right in the worst spot of the market when they're going to trade them. I think it's the timing. I think that's the worst part of this.
So we're
because
really
if Bane was worth 4 and Bridges was worth 5, Giannis would be worth like 10, but it's not going to happen. Those Yugos are off the lot.
Here's the reality, too, though. Giannis's age does play a factor when these GMs are looking at what we're going to give up in the future.
Fair.
We'll give up current assets, but we don't want to give up nearly as much, you know,
Giannis
capital.
Giannis is 33 years old, Butchie.
31.
Okay.
But his body's been getting broken down a little bit more.
But in general, and he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years. So if I'm an NBA GM, I'm not going to give up. I'll give up current players for a now approach. My thing is, when you trade for Giannis, you're giving yourself a 3 to 5 year window, is probably what you're doing, if he can stay healthy long enough. That's the window with
Giannis.
He's
not Anthony Davis, Butchie. Yeah, he's had some injuries. He's not AD. I'm just stunned that.
I don't know. Like, it's getting close, Zabe.
Really?
Well, he's had three years.
He's had problems staying healthy, but not because he's not tried to, like, do these things.
All right.
It's been – go ahead, Zane.
I think he's the best player that has ever become available via trade. in a long time. A long time. You're squinting at me, Butchie. You're trying
I'm thinking via trades. What do we have here?
Who was the last amazing gettable player in the NBA?
Well, Luka, but we didn't know he was available.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, there we go. Thank you. Yeah.
Luka was the sports car that the scorned ex-wife sold on Facebook for $1,000 when her husband wasn't looking. That's the
imagine
kind of deal
being Dallas.
But I, think, Luka but I think Luka, but I think Luka has Brunson. Bigger upside than Giannis.
And Jalen.
Oh, shut your fucking face. For the next 5 years, you'd rather have Luka, the beer drinking, no defense playing, shoot first, shoot last guy over Giannis Antetokounmpo for 5 years.
Yes, he's a point guard. He can win a game. End the game situations. Are you giving Giannis the ball?
You did in game six.
Armin, no, stop.
General, I know. It's been 5 years. 5 years.
Wow. Stop. Well, there was a time to trade Giannis that the return would have been through the roof. And it looks like the Bucks have missed that off ramp. Kind of like the Packers missed the off ramp, the best off ramp for Rodgers. What they could have gotten for Rodgers from Denver 1 year earlier would have been unbelievable.
Correct.
But what do you do? The Bucks felt like they were contenders then. They felt like they were in the window. So
I know.
It would have been, the Bulls could have traded Jordan after 96, but they weren't going to do that.
Okay, but you have to be realistic, though. Like last summer, they could have traded him. They didn't. They doubled down one last time.
Right. That's true.
Let's go get Miles Turner. I think this is going to work. And guys like Butchie said, no, I like it. I think it could work.
Here's my question. Here's my question that I truly think, and I thought it could work, but I still think it could have worked. Doc was the issue here. This is the if we're going to be honest.
Yeah.
Doc was first the issue. Now, Miles Turner, I think, was unhappy, and he's trying to force his way out with the comments towards Giannis and all that stuff. But here's my bigger question with Giannis is, do you think 3 straight years, left calf, right calf, left calf injuries? Like, to me, when you start talking calf injuries, you're starting to talk Achilles.
Achilles.
You're talking 31. I'm just telling you.
All right.
I think teams are a little hesitant. I think they'll still make the deal, but I think they're a little hesitant.
So the emotional part of it, Armin, is what I want to know from you.
Brutal.
Guys who just, I mean, this guy was the city while he was here. He was the greatest thing the city has ever had in terms of athletes. Pure, wonderful, said all the right things, embraced the city in a sport in which none of the star athletes would want to come to a cold weather city like Milwaukee. There's a huge mural of him on a building in downtown Milwaukee that I would drive by every day when I lived there. What becomes of the emotional toll of losing Giannis?
I think it's worse than anyone's going to want to admit. And then when it actually happens, it's tough to process. And it's very difficult. I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything else in a superstar. He fulfilled the contract. He came up as this humble guy. And we're going to get to him. Reminds me of Miz because he was such a wide-eyed youth, but then showed up in the biggest moments, was a superhuman athletic feat. I'm telling you, it's going to be really sad. He was our most precious natural resource besides Lake Michigan. And the reality is, we want to talk
and
about this.
Worst.
All these kids come up playing 2K, so they think everything is a commodity to trade. There won't be another Giannis like this. I mean, we might find a way to compete again and rebuild, and there'll be other great players. There's not going to be someone you can just plug in like this that's going to take that place. Not around here.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch gears real quick to the NBA Finals. Butchie, your thoughts on the New York Knicks and what they just did?
I loved it. They were dominant. It was fun to watch. It was team basketball. They never really had the lead in the first quarter. Continued to fight back, just bulldogs. That to me is where I get excited. That to me is good team basketball. The approach of just chipping away. I thought Wemby was young, right? I think he needed to learn. I think there was some immaturity with Wemby as far as what he needed to do to finish games out. I also think bigs have a really hard time closing games out. I hate saying that as a big, but you have to rely on people to give you the ball in situations. Like Wemby from half court is not the look you want. Like, he's 7'4". I don't care. Like, so understanding how to get him the ball in the right position. They've got two young guards that they're relying on, and Castle and Harper, who I think are going to be really good. But I thought the youth of San Antonio showed. I thought the togetherness of New York worked out. And this is the thing. I actually was happy for Knicks fans. And I'm not happy for Knicks fans a whole lot, but it was kind of cool. Now, a lot of them are bandwagon
fans or not.
Well, I'm talking the truth. I'm talking Spike Lee. I'm talking guys that sat through the misery. The Spike. Bandwagon fans, well, what's that?
Do you know
but,
Arm
but just
Spike
be honest,
Lee?
Dave, Milwaukee had bandwagon fans too.
Yeah, Cheryl Crow. Chris Middleton. I get it. Did you know that Spike Lee, Armin, is the only celebrity that pays for his own tickets because he and Dolan hate each other?
Well, that story's out there, and it's hard for me to believe the Knicks would just give up all that money. There's got to be a way that these people pay something. I don't believe it totally,
well, Ben Stiller said in that interview on the pregame show, I don't pay for these. I can't afford them.
But does his company or his LLC pay, and he just doesn't know, and someone else does the paperwork?
The
Knicks aren't in Oklahoma City. They're in New York City where money flows. There's a lot of people that would pay for those tickets. I just don't get it.
You would think they would have to pay something, at least face value or some nominal fee for those tickets. But I would argue, Armin, that this Knicks team is the most comparable to the Pistons team with Rip Hamilton that won the title without a superstar, just stars.
Maybe, but I think that's selling Jalen Brunson short. He did everything a singular unilateral superstar could possibly do to win the title for him. I really think Karl Towns played well and he defended Wemby well, but he was in foul trouble. He didn't have big numbers. Josh Hart and Bridges were in supporting roles. This was all about Jalen Brunson going nuclear and lifting the city to heights that we hadn't seen.
I agree.
The
general opinion of Brunson amongst the NBA types is he's not a superstar. He's a star.
Well, maybe that's wrong. Sure. No one could stop him. He has the ball every possession in the fourth.
I think he's fucking amazing. I think he is the quintessential grinder who keeps getting 1% better, Butchie, every day. 1% better. Super humble. And you can't fucking guard him because he has so many crazy shots. Wrong leg, off balance, scoop, lay in, fade away, you name it. I mean, it's fucking sweet. But the rest of the team, though, they're component guys. And also, I love the fact that you called Karl Anthony Towns, not Cat, but Karl Towns. That's awesome. I like calling him Scott Scheffler. So it throws people off. You know, Scott Scheffler is playing good. What? What are you saying?
Scott Pippen?
Here's the thing with Brunson, though. This is the thing. Small guards are always tougher to guard because they can snake around ball screens and they're sneaky and you don't know what to do with them. So, like, there's an advantage he has. Most NBA guys say he's too small. I've always hated that argument from NBA GMs. He's too small. No. Give me a crafty point guard that knows his role. I can be all about that. But there's that side of it. But what doesn't get talked about is his first win was, and it was an actual loss for him, was giving back $133 million, not taking it all. Like, that's the legacy.
By the way,
nobody, especially in the NBA. Like, I'm not.
That's it.
You're not. Zabe, you're not. Like, Armin's. No one. I don't know who does it, but that's where the legacy is made. When you have a guy do that and give back that kind of money to build it, you have to be happy for what he's done and how he's gone about it and the accolades that come his way now, because he's unselfish in a point in New York City to say, hey, we're doing this and I'm taking less and we're going to go get guys and I want you to be all in. And I think because he does that, you can give up 5 first rounds for Mikal. You can do some of these things because guess what? You got enough money to fix any errors that you might have that might happen.
How about the fact that they won the title together, the Nova Cats, or the Nova Knicks, the three of them, with your boy DiVincenzo, who they really wanted to keep, but they had to throw him into the deal with Minnesota. But they won the NCAAs 10 years ago, and now they've won the NBA title. That's a Disney movie, Armin. That's a Disney movie.
Well, it is. And not only that, Jalen Brunson won a high school state championship in a really talent hotbed in the suburbs of Chicago. Yeah.
Hey, but on a side note, that Disney movie starts with defeat, right? With the Wisconsin Badgers and Bronson Cain at corner three knocking
That's
off
right.
Villanova as a one seed. That's how it starts.
That's the adversity arc in the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that it is pretty, it's pretty impressive to see what he's done, and he's been a winner everywhere. And maybe it was time for people to stop questioning what he could do.
But I'll question this too. I'll say this: like, winning it's in your DNA, man. Like, I don't think you can learn winning. I think you either have it or you don't. Like. I think Wemby's a winner. He didn't win the championship, but he got to the finals. And
Wemby has suffered the biggest reputational crash in a span of a week I've ever seen. People have turned on him saying, what a bitch. Shook nobody's hand. Dumb stuff like, we dominated the whole series. Nobody cares. And is dirty. He's a dirty player, Butchie. Literally dirty.
I don't know about the dirty part, but the rest is. Go ahead.
No, the problem is he's 7'4" and he's lanky. So like, right. It
looks bad. Everything looks bad that he does.
Everything looks bad, but you can't have everything look bad every game. That's my counter. Okay, I'm gonna give you both sides. At 7'4", you're lanky. Your arms are moving. There's things like that. I understand that, but you can't have that every game either.
I think realistically, he's never faced adversity yet as a 22-year-old where anyone out there has beaten him and been better than him that he couldn't figure out his whole life. And that Oklahoma City series was supposed to be the magnum opus. That was supposed to be the end. And I think he was even shocked by that a little bit. He mentioned he learned a lesson here that you can't take it for granted, the relentlessness of great teams. I think they thought it was over when they won that series and people underestimated New York. I don't like the hero to villain arc they're doing. It's a little unfair, but that's what we do in sports. Is it unfair, or are we realizing
we now know kind of who he really is? The arms crossed during the anthem. I think that's a little narrative stuff.
That's unfair to me.
That's narrative stuff. Okay. All right. I want to play this. I want to watch this clip together real quick. All right. Because this is one of the key layups late by Brunson, Butchie, against Wemby. Somehow they got Brunson ISO'd against Wemby on this play. All right.
Break it down, Butch.
All right. You see it right here. First of all, it's amazing what he has to do to just get a tiny little look. Now, look, there's the first grab right there. Wemby grabs his arm. Dr. Naismith wanted that called a foul. Dr. Naismith is dead and spinning in his grave. Okay.
But at first, it's all set up by a crossover because you got Jalen going to his strong hand. He goes to his strong hand to get back to his weak hand. So if you look at Wemby, he's trying to take away the left hand here. Left hand coming off, sets it up, boom, between the leg crossover, all because he's a strong hand, goes to his weak hand. So, kids, make sure you work on that weak hand because defenders know what your strong hand is. They're going to force it. Go ahead. Yes, that's a foul by Wemby. They're not going to call it late in the game.
So now Brunson.
This is the snake dribble I'm talking about where you get back into it. Normally it's coming off a ball screen, but here you've beaten the defender. So now you're going to get on the hip of the defender and play a little arm bar. Continue.
Little arm bar, a little bit of an extra shove to get Wemby off balance. I believe there's some acting going on right here, Armin. This looks like Wemby's trying to sell it a bit here.
Probably he's already been beat. That's his best chance. But he's also 7'5". The center of gravity is high.
I don't think there's much of it. That goes back to the small point guard. He gets off. I don't think he's stopped here. But if you look at Jalen was looking at him during that kind of flop, if you want to call it same. I think it's just the,
I'd say a little bit of telling, not a flop. Okay. Also, I want to take a second to go, who is this overprivileged little girl sitting with her feet on the floor? That's outrageous.
She probably is an influencer that's got $600,000 a year or something.
She brought her lovey, so that's good.
Okay. Now you got Brunson with a half pump fake.
Yep.
Sort of there. Like, what is he doing? Wemby loses eye focus for a second. Just for a second. I don't know what he's looking at there. But now he realizes, okay, here comes the shot. And he's going to extend his giant alien arm to block the shot. And look at how fucking close it comes.
That's crazy.
Being blocked right there.
It's crazy.
That play right there tells you how good and how crafty – and how difficult it is to get a clean shot over this guy.
Well, because he's got such a long wingspan.
I mean, but it's the shove. Then here, you know, Jalen's so good. Shot fake to get the little hesitation to try to get the foul, and then you explode up through it. Like, but like you said, Wemby's that, like, San Antonio is going to be good for a long time, but
they fumbled the bag in this one a little bit.
To Miz real quick. Jacob Mizorowski had one of the most incredible performances last week in baseball history. He had a one-hit complete game, 95 pitches, struck out 15. It was called a Maddox, which is a term, Armin, I didn't know until people were calling it a Maddox.
Yeah, complete game under 100 pitches, the efficiency factor, right?
Okay, under 100, complete game, and he also faced the minimum number of batters.
That's popping what we're seeing.
Radar
now.
Gun at 104. I think there was one pitch that was even 105.
104.7 is what I think.
104.7. So round up.
Okay. Armin, you're first on this. Tell me what it's like seeing Mizorowski come into full bloom.
You're seeing a physical specimen and a phenom every fifth day is amazing. I've said this before. In sports, we want to see the limits of human potential, and that's what makes it special. That's what makes all the great ones special. Jordan was initially that guy when we were younger. It's one thing to just put up zeros. It's one thing to get outs and be good and win Cy Youngs. But when you're doing what Miz is doing, which is reaching the limits of human potential and doing it with such excitement and such...
Ooh, why is that?
The reason is that now we have ABS. And if you go back and watch the Kerry Wood game, Jerry Meal's strike zone was so aggressively obtuse off the edges that he had a flight to get to or something.
Armin, stop using so many big words. I mean, listen, specimen, obtuse.
All right, fine.
Like, yeah,
right.
I was big. I got.
And let me tell you something. If my Twitter account wasn't still hacked, I'd be going after Cubs fans on that.
Oh, no. Hacked?
Yeah, so
yeah, I'm hacked.
Crypto, huh? How did I thought you were buying cars and houses, yeah, though, Armin.
Yeah, if anyone thinks I got driving around in a Maybach wearing a Cartier watch, you don't know Armin, okay? Let's just put it that way. It's unfortunately still hacked. So,
all right, anyone knows how to get Armin unhacked, please reach out to me. It's ridiculous that there's not please an help. Easier way to get that untangled, but just go ahead and email me and I'll try to help Armin out. So, on the Miz front, yes, magnum opus outing. However, the best could still be coming. Mm-hmm. Could we see the first no-hitter since Juan Nieves, April 15th, 1987, Armin?
It's possible. Brewer? I believe he's good enough to do it. The stars have to align.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and there is.
Fears about his arm blowing up into a million pieces?
Understandable. No one's ever done this, so we don't know what to expect.
All right. Butchie, how's camp season going?
It's busy. We're into it. We got camp today. We got camp tomorrow. Amory on Wednesday. Pittsville on Thursday. Partyville on Friday. Damn. Menominee, Michigan on Monday. Berlin, Wisconsin next Friday. Yeah, day-to-day, boys. Day-to-day. Camp season's camp season, but we're rolling. We're having fun doing it. And as I like to say, we're making the youth of America better.
Armin, how's summer going? We're in day 23 of the 100 days of summer, the run from Memorial Day Friday until Labor Day Monday.
It's been a good start. Zabe, you'll be proud of me. I got my first 9 holes in. I don't golf a lot, but I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's been a good start, but it's going to go too fast. I already know it.
Right.
So.
I do have an update on fireworks for the 4th of July, though. We've received a text from somebody that says, can we use the raft, which we have out by the cottage, can we use the raft to build a platform for the fireworks? And I said, absolutely. Is this considered payment? ? And the response was, yes.
So wow.
I paid for fireworks, baby.
Let's go. Hey.
So the raft, what is the raft exactly?
Well, it's like a metal two big things out, like it's a metal raft that goes out in the middle of the lake. You anchor it down with I've got 3 cinder blocks and an anchor to hold it down.
A floating platform for kids, yeah, who are swimming in the lake to go climb up onto and get a rep before jumping back in. And how large is it? 10 feet by 10 feet?
No, probably 4 feet by 4 feet, probably six okay. by six, something like that. I don't
All right.
Like
and it's made of aluminum?
Aluminum, yeah.
Okay. And what happens when there's burns or discoloration to your aluminum after the fireworks shoot off? Because you know that's
well,
going
to I was gifted this ref. So again, I mean, oh. like I said, I. so,
okay. It's free.
So right, it's good. Free. Yeah. Yes. Right. So, but in my mind, I'm paying for fireworks. So there you go.
All right. I'm going to be up there in 9 days. And I don't know, Armin, if I'm going to get a chance to see you because I'm playing golf the whole 3 days, basically. But I'm going to try
to make it happen.
Butchie, I'd love to come further north to see you. I definitely know I don't have time for that. Plus, you're going to be in some moldy, stinky gym teaching kids how to do a crossover and to sell a foul. To the future Scott Fosters of the world.
I mean, I'd love to have you be at camp and I could teach you, but I understand golf's a little more important, rightfully so.
This is the best time of the year to be in Wisconsin, there's no doubt.
No doubt about it, except for all the damn storms and tornadoes. Holy shit.
Hey, I had trees coming down in my backyard. Now I'm learning that new part of home ownership. So
the joy of trees.
We'll talk about that next time. We got a lot to talk about with that.
All right. Armin, good to talk to you as always. Butch, you're the best. Thank you, boys.
Always. See ya.
See ya.
Gonna finish today with some emails. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. This one from John Meester, or is it Meister? Don't know. World Cup ticks unused. Hey, Zabe, my wife is in technology sales. Her company bought 120 tickets to the U.S. Paraguay match. Nobody, though, wanted to travel for a free ticket. She said customers that were local were there. Otherwise, there were 80 unused tickets. With that being just one example, I can see why there are currently empty seats. Sincerely, John Meester. That is a spectacular waste of corporate money and a real shame because what a match that was. You would have gotten to see the U.S. in its most dominating effort ever defeat Paraguay, and you just said, nah, don't want to go. This one from Justin Hill. Zabe was catching up on some podcasts and went to the episode with you in charge where you discussed, among other things, your mutual love of Pop-Tarts. Congrats, by the way, on all the weight loss, but if you're ever feeling the urge to relapse, yeah, every day, I urge you to go to College Park, Annapolis, or Baltimore and look up a place called the Iron Rooster. Their signature item is the Roostart. Yes, a homemade custom Pop-Tart. Plenty of frosting with mixed berry and brown sugar as the mainstays, with a few rotational flavors as well. I used to work there through college and had my share. Go to iron-rooster.com to find a location. Also, here's a hot Pop-Tart take. Unfrosted apple cinnamon with cinnamon sugar topping is highly underrated. Not quite a McDonald's apple pie, but close enough. Huge fan. Hope to hear you back on the radio in D.C. or elsewhere soon. Sincerely, Justin. I will be on the radio in D.C. on Friday, 2 to 6:30 with Nick Ashew on 106.7 The Fan. And I'll be on Monday with J.P. Finley from 10 to 2 as they're broadcasting live from a golf tournament out in Chantilly. This one regarding coconut water and Tom Brady. Remember the Tom Brady good nut water? And we were talking about how kind of gay adjacent that is. Not that there's anything wrong with that. This one from, Artie Bolick. Zabe, listening to the end of your Tuesday podcast about Brady's, quote, nut juice, I was reminded of an Office Ladies podcast episode. Ooh, I love that podcast. Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. That's the podcast, and they just talk about the show and how things came together and all behind-the-scenes stuff, and they're just delightful to listen to. In that episode of The Office Ladies, Jenna Fisher said that warm coconut water tasted like having a dick in your mouth. I'll have to take her word for it. Not that there's anything wrong with that, writes Artie. Perhaps Brady is marketing to a different demographic than straight males. That has been put out there, that this was an intentional sort of, we're not shooting for the straight male on this one. I would doubt it, though, because I don't think there's enough of that other demographic to make it financially worthwhile. But just saying. I replied going, did Jenna Fischer actually say the word dick in her mouth on the podcast? If so, I need to go listen. That makes me a little bit horny just thinking of her talking dirty. And Artie responded saying she did. She was even a bit more graphic than that. Now, they did bleep it all out, but you'll know what she said. Go to the 30-minute mark of episode 167, titled Garden Party with Josh Groban. Okay, well, I got something to do now that the NBA and NHL finals are over. This one from Mike Patterson regarding Annika Niles, the new drummer for Rush, and got a ton of feedback. Thank you very much for all the feedback on our talk about Rush and drumming and da-da-da-da-da. I do agree. She's doing great. Mike says, damn, Zabe, way to nerd out and teach class on drumming. I'm a bassist here, mediocre guitar player. I can play drums on I Just Want to Fly, Sugar Ray. That's about it. As you would say, Annika Niles, she's my type. New segment, Women Who Shred and Are My Type. For me, Darcy of the Smashing Pumpkins. Thank you sincerely, Mike. This one from Kevin Rose. It's been a long time, .. Hey, Steve, I bet you get this a lot, but I'm one of the guys that goes back to the first team on Fox days, and then I lost track of you after FSR stupidly pulled the plug. It was one of the greatest sports talk shows of all time, and I was a frequent texter known as Captain Touchback. I have fond memories of You Are Looking Live playing as I drove my boys to school. Sad it had to go, but thrilled to have rediscovered you in plain sight on the Zabecast. Well, I'm here. I am fresh to the 1%ers on premium. Hey, how about that? And we'll be spreading the word about the show. P.S. The Rush content on Wednesday was great, by the way. Diversions from sports are always welcome. Cheers, Kevin Rose. Thank you, Kevin. And yes, that's exactly what I want. And what I need is I need evangelists. I need the foot soldiers out there to tell people, hey, remember that show that was so cool? And the corporate idiot said, no, we don't want something good. It's that guy still exists. It's a little different. It's a podcast. He has a rotating set of friends and media people and ne'er-do-wells who come in. But it's still really good. And it's free. At least 4 days of the week it's free. The fifth day is going to cost you money. $5. But hey, Kevin Rose is paying for it because he's supporting me, and I do appreciate that. That's a wrap for me today here on the Zabecast. Thank you so much for listening. As always, rate and review, and you know the drill. Now we're into the summer months, people. I love it. This is a great stretch of, yeah, we'll do sports if it's interesting, but we don't have to, and a lot of the days, we ain't gonna. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.